Previously on the Causeway Street Podcast.
In case you missed it, other than DeMarcus Cousins, who the Nuggets have recently signed, they've traded Sean's other boy, Bobo, to the Detroit Pistons for Rodney Magruder.
Why are you breaking Bobo news right now, Brad?
No, the reason why, Bobo would have been a much better draft pick. Hindsight being 2020.
Then what, Grant Williams?
No, then Taco Fall. The Celtics should have been in on Bobo, bro. I would trade Nesmith for Bobo in a second and wouldn't even think.
I still can't believe Sean Dutra got his guy for the Celtics, man. This is another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. Jose Pavone here, Sean Dutra, Joel Pavone. Don't act like you saw this thing coming, because I want to say it was random, but the fact that the Celtics acquired Bol Bol this past week, right after an episode where Sean was talking about acquiring Bol Bol, I mean, what are the chances of that? But that's exactly what happened this past week for the Celtics. We'll get into the NBA trade deadline, of course, if we are expecting to see any other deals, or if this is an indication of what's to come, which is maybe something similar or nothing at all. We'll talk about what that means for the Celtics team. And we'll dive into this shooting slump that Jason Tatum's in right now. The Celtics comeback fell short Wednesday night, and Tatum didn't necessarily help the cause, right? 12 points, 0-for-7 from behind the arc. We'll get into that, and of course, look ahead with Sean's segment, and wrap things up with Joel's. In case you missed it, we make our trip around the NBA. But yeah, I mean, look, the Celtics acquired Bol Bol and PJ Dozier from the Denver Nuggets. They sent Juancho Hernangómez to the San Antonio Spurs. It's a move that frees up money. So that's clearly the initiative here. But, I mean, for someone like Hernangómez, who I thought would fit, I don't know, whoever this player X will be, that Celtics fans are, like, drooling over, I thought he would be one of those guys to help match contracts. So I don't know, fellas. You tell me. Like, I can't help but wonder, like, whatever move is coming up is not going to be as big as people think it is. And listen, I'm in the camp of let's not split up these two all-stars quite yet, you know? So I'm not looking for like that type of move or even another move that would involve like, you know, I don't know, Marcus Smart or not. And look, it's not that I'm just completely against trading someone like Marcus Smart, but like, I just don't think his value's up there, you know? But then I was looking forward to a guy like Hernangómez being shoved into a deal to make contracts match, you know, maybe a Josh Richardson, you know, for a sharpshooter. You guys know how I feel about Buddy Hield, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen now. You know, I don't think it's going to happen. And the Celtics lost again. So that's where we're at here, you know, at the Causeway Street Podcast. I mean, nothing new, right? 500 team Celtics, you know, just trying to give you guys a dose of optimism on this damn show like we always do every single week on this podcast, man.
Just when you thought they're like, oh, this might be it, right? Five wins out of six games. And then, you know, you drop this one to the Hornets. And right before that, you know, this trade goes down and so many people are confused. Another 6.9 TPE is involved now. Another TPE to talk about and shit like that. The fact that when Juancho originally got traded here, I was so happy for two reasons. You know, they got rid of Carson Edwards. I didn't think that was even possible. And I really thought that he was going to take fucking Grant Williams minutes. But Grant Williams has just stepped it up this year.
Juancho sucked, man.
he played like 2 minutes a game, if that, bro.
And there was so much opportunity with like the way the team was going down with COVID. You never saw that guy even get a single like lick run.
No, they brought in Joe Johnson instead. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so no. I'm not worried about it. I mean, it is an interesting point as you bring up, Sway, like, his contract was so bloated that like it would have been a nice little thing to like throw into a deal, but
I mean, yeah, that was the talk around town the moment he landed here, you know.
Yeah,
because yeah, he had another year right left on his deal, if I'm not mistaken.
I was just gonna say that I don't think the Celtics are gonna add a player that's better than Bol Bol.
Oh man, jeez, yeah, what's your problem?
That's not a bad thing.
Continue the Bobo talk from last episode. Huh? After you guys shit on me for that one, huh?
Bobo is a legitimate stud, just waiting to be coached
hold on,
GM by the right guy.
Okay, Can we preface this with the cue fact up, that he's?
I was gonna say cue up the clip from fucking draft night with this guy losing his damn mind when Bol Bol got drafted.
Well, that and then you know fast forward to this week, the dude is out for fucking eight to twelve fucking weeks.
Yeah, he's not playing anytime soon.
He's got bad feet, bro. I don't think he's playing that often. Celtics, to be honest.
Fix the feet. Come back next year. Be on. Be legit and let's go. You know what I mean?
Dutra was
yeah, Hernan Gomez does have an extra year on that contract. I would double check.
Yeah. So, Dutra was like, yo, but don't sleep on Dozier. I was like, the guy who tore his ACL at the beginning of the season? Yeah. I think I'm sleeping on him.
Yeah, you may want to sleep on him because I didn't know he was.
This is an option, though.
He's a money grab, but he's a free agent. So, yeah. I mean, I like Dozier as a player, but I honestly apologize. I wasn't keeping track of PJ Dozier injury status while he was playing on the Nuggets, and I figured he was just playing his 7 to 8 minutes a game. So, excuse me.
Yeah, he's also like the third worst injury on that damn team this season. But yeah.
No, I think the trade is like cool because I got Bol Bol.
And That's all it is.
Makes me feel
good. So obnoxious, dude. No, I don't feel great about you.
No, but
it's like you failed the physical on the Detroit Pistons. You failed the physical for the Detroit Pistons, bro.
No, it's not even about that though. It's about the fact that Sean is just excited about the Celtics' like newest mascot. Like, get out of here, man. I'm done with this whole like
Bol Bol.
Taco Bol Bol freaking. Oh, look how tall this guy is, and this is a man. Like, come on, you know. But listen,
Bet online.
I don't hate the trade. But I don't want to hear this whole, oh, well, look out for Bol Bol. Just relax, okay? We'll revisit this conversation another time.
But
I like the fact that the Celtics consolidated one contract and turned into two guys who not only do you have both of these guys as bird rights, but you also you save a little bit of money. So that's good. I'm not mad at them.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a nice thing to like, save some money. I do think like the weird thing is like I know that we were going to use Hernan Gomez's contract, but they also got another TPE out of the deal, right? I mean, a small one.
About $1 million, yeah.
So, I mean, that adds up to contract fodder, too. And, you know, if Hernan Gomez has term on his deal, that could be a harder contract to add into a trade. But maybe it is not better to have just a free $1 million to just take in salary. So, I don't know. I don't have a ton of faith that they're going to make a big move or even a mid-sized move. Like Schroeder, maybe they try to move Schroeder.
That's your best bet at this point.
That's your best bet just because he's so cost effective for like, you know, a team that wants a guy just literally for half a year. And what are you actually going to get out of that? And then who are you trading him to? And then are you in a better position to benefit from Schroeder than actually trading him for whatever scrubs you're going to get? I just don't see, I don't see the cards lining up for the Celtics to really make anything happen unless they talk to an impending free agent, they, you know, backdoor that they, you know, want to get him with the Celtics before signing him as a free agent, you know.
That'd be tampering, Sean.
It would definitely be tampering, but, you know, Brad Stevens knows how to tamper.
He told you?
Brad Stevens is so not a tamperer, man.
No, he's definitely not a tamper. He's definitely the guy that's like,
guys, hey, this is tamper.
Bradley Beal. I'd love to discuss a contract extension as much as you would, but that would be tampering. So I'm going to end this conversation. That's
pretty much, that's how that would go, right?
Anyways, I don't know. What do you guys feel like? Do you feel like?
Look, I mean,
a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to make a move.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying they're not going to make a move just to make a move, right? Whether it's Marcus Smart or whoever. Like, I think this trade in particular kind of signals that, like, all right, this team isn't where we thought they would be at this point of the season. So let's not have to pay crazy luxury tax for a team that, you know, might not go as far as we thought they would and kind of set us up for the off season type of thing. But again, like, I don't think there's going to be any fireworks. And And I know Celtics Twitter wants they want every single trade or move to be like, you know, groundbreaking, earth shattering. That's just not going to happen this season.
Is either one of you concerned about Jason Tatum? I mean, we've seen him go through these slumps, right? And typically, he'll respond with like a 40 piece, right, or like some sort of dominating game where he scores like 7 3-pointers. So, I guess my question is, I just wanted to preface this by saying, like, I'm not saying like, oh, is he, you know, is it the Tatum we're going to see for the rest of the season? I mean, I don't think that's true. But what do you guys think it is in grand scheme of things, right? I mean, it's not just this recent stretch. I mean, this recent stretch has been the worst of this entire season. But if you just look at his stats overall, I mean, he's shooting, what, 31% from behind the three-pointer, right? I mean, I was afraid he's in danger of being below 30% from behind the arc. I mean, for a team that doesn't shoot well from that area, you need your superstar to shoot better than that, especially when you're talking about someone like Tatum, who shot almost 40 last season. And he shot over 40% the season before that. And his rookie year, I mean, it was even higher than that. So, like, look, I get it. The role's different. You know, they're not as many options. But I just feel like in terms of his scoring or his shooting, rather, it's going in the opposite direction. And a lot of these open shots that he got Wednesday night where he went 0 for 7, like at least five of those were wide open. So what is it? What do you guys think it is about Tatum right now?
I think he's in his own head, to be honest. As simple as that may sound, but I just think he's doing too much at times. This whole season overall has been like his worst percentage wise. He's barely in the 40s, you know, overall on the court.
Is that because Eman needs to be more of a playmaker? Is that what this whole thing's about? Because his turnover rate ain't much better. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like...
Well, that's the thing, because you look at Jalen, for example, right? Their stats are almost identical, even down to the fucking turnovers. They're turning the ball over like 3 times a game or so. Sometimes it seems like it's a lot more. But my point is, I think when you got Smart out, for example, and, you know, sometimes these games turn into, you know, ISO Schroeder. Even though Schroeder's been, he's been more of a playmaker as well in the last few games. But I think when Tatum's having it going, like offensively, and they're down in the game, that's like the worst combination for him, because he just takes it upon himself. Like, yo, I'm just going to shoot my way back into it. It's just one of these like bad habits type of things. And especially when he's missing going into the lane and it feels like he's getting fouled, he's not getting these calls. Then I think he just settles for jumpers, even when he's wide open.
That's whack.
Yeah,
I don't like that, fellas.
No, I do think the 3-point percentage is a little bit alarming, right? But I will say he's still scoring. He's getting to the hoop. He's getting to the hoop this year, I think, better than he has in past.
Sean, if Jaylen Brown was shooting close to 30%, he would not be like it. Better than that. I don't even need to look.
Really better than that. He's probably, what, like 33%, bro?
Hey, Jalen's the efficient king, all right? Maybe not from behind the 3-point arc, but he does better than his all-star counterpart.
No, listen. Any hate geared towards Tatum and Tatum's
It's not hate, though. It's an observation, bro. That's what it is.
It's not an observation, because you're going to tell me then that this season you feel like Tatum's not been playing well?
He's not efficient, and that's been part of his game as he's been progressing through his, yeah, you know, it was his fifth year in the league. So
do you think, bad you shooting? Think, it's a bad shooting year.
Yeah, I'm it's a bad shooting
a
bad, year.
I'm not saying a bad year. It's a bad shooting
year. Yeah, it's a bad shooting year, but don't you think that's part of you can't say he's gotten better from last year. Can you?
No, and Jalen's shooting 36%, by the way.
Thank you. I was just about to say that.
Okay. Great. So awesome.
Yeah, it's a fucking show. All right, we got.
I will put whatever you want to bet on the fact that at the end of the year, we're looking at 3-point percentage. Tatum will shoot a better percentage from 3-point than Jaylen Brown. It's just the averages are averages because they're motherfucking averages, and he's a better 3-point shooter. So I bet you if you want to take that bet.
Still doesn't right. answer the question, but all right.
So you're not concerned. I know, right?
No, I
no concern from Sean.
None whatsoever.
That's a little bit of a long way around the fact that, if you guys remember at the beginning of the year, I was a little concerned about Jason Tatum because He did.
But it's not the eye test, though, for you.
So Tatum has played more basketball since the shutdown. I think Tatum has probably played more basketball than anyone in the NBA when you consider the deep playoff runs that he made in the bubble. That he played all last year, and then he played.
Well, if you just look at this season, Sean's actually a good point. I think I want to say he's third in the NBA minutes per game.
But I didn't know that, which is even worse because I think
it's the most he's played his entire career.
He's played so much basketball in the last year and a half, and then coming into this year, the Celtics are relying on him to be the number one option. Jaylen Brown missed a significant amount of time, which is why his minutes are probably up. I mean, and then he got COVID. I mean, again, which we know how COVID affects Jason Tatum. So, seeing him come back and not playing at the best of his abilities, it's a little bit to be expected. But I still think at the same time, I've seen things from him different than just scoring this year that makes me think that he's. Still progressing and still getting better.
So. All right. I'll give you this, right, when it comes to what you said about Tatum and his playing and how much he's played since the bubble.
Yeah, he's third, by the way. I'm trying to get this in. He's third behind Van Fleet, 38 minutes a game. Harden is 37, and Tatum is 36.7.
How did Van Fleet and Harden do in the Olympics?
Joe, what were you going to say?
how many minutes did Tatum average in the Olympics? For real, he was the number one. He was on a floor the entire time.
He was the sixth man. He
played a lot. Are you serious? He probably played more minutes than Devin Booker. No. He played more minutes.
He's like 23, man. All right, it's what you're supposed to do. Damn it.
I understand, but sometimes that'll catch up to you, especially if it's not on your regular. Like if it wasn't the fact that everything got delayed and then the Olympics still happened on time, then we'd be talking about a different story. But the fact that the season got pushed to, what was it? In 2020, the season got pushed, what was that?
Christmas. Are you talking about the bubble, or are you talking about after the bubble?
The bubble was happening, and then all of a sudden the season happened.
It was training camp was in fucking October.
I'm saying
still. And the finals was in August.
I will bet that there's not a player in NBA history that has played more professional basketball in the 2 year period that Tatum's played basketball. I bet
you. LeBron?
No. LeBron had the whole summer off.
No, I'm not saying right now, but
and LeBron
had, LeBron what? Is how many finals did he go to? How many times he went to the Olympics? How many?
No, bro.
No, but you're saying the last year or so, right?
Yeah, I'm saying in the span that
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about overall.
He's had basically three seasons in a 2 year span. LeBron never had that. Plus the Olympics. It's tough.
Yeah. No, I mean what I was gonna say is I think, bottom line in this. And this just goes to how this team has just been playing, overall. Watching, and not that this dude had a great game. I'm talking about Haywood, right? Coming in here. Basically, that season, Kemba's first year here in Boston, the focus wasn't on Tatum or Brown as much as it was on Kemba, right? Kemba starts to the knee issue, and then Tatum takes off, right? But you still have that playmaker in Hayward that could set up Tatum and that could set up Brown. You lose that the following year, and then last year happened because of COVID and because you never had a primary playmaker because Kemba was in and out of the lineup. And now this season, no Kemba at all. All right, scratch him from the equation, and now it's Smart, it's Tatum, and it's Brown, and it's you're splitting up the playmaking duties, essentially, even though it's supposed to be all just for Smart. So I think it's just more pressure that they're putting on themselves, especially Tatum.
Mentally. Yeah, we knew it was going to take a bit for everyone to adjust, right? I mean, and what I mean by that is Marcus Smart taking the keys and being the starting point guard. I mean, it was going to take a little bit for him to adjust to that. And he also needed everyone to sort of do the same. That's just what Ime's system evokes out of guys, right? To sort of do a little bit more, and those three guys in particular are your main. I mean, the way they divvy it up is sort of, right now it's difficult to gauge because Marcus isn't available, but at the end of the day, I think that has a lot to do with it. And some people may say, well, look, you need another playmaker in here. You need another starting point guard in here. Maybe they do. Maybe shooters is another way to make the, to expedite the process and give these guys options that could, you know, look, and that end of that fourth quarter, right? For example, against the Hornets, we used to complain about guys like Tatum and Brown not getting enough touches, not getting enough look. The EMA system sometimes is just a little too, you know, liberal, if you will. You know, yeah. Like,
look, in the Brad, even the Brad system in the past, too.
Right, right. So then when they do it, it's like, well, man, how can they miss all these shots? Well, like, well, which one is it? You know, like, yeah. I don't mind if they have to figure this out. I don't mind if it, you know, you have to drop a couple of games here and there. Let's face it, overall, this past 6-7 game stretch has been fairly good, you know, compared to what we've seen, yeah. You know, throughout the entire, like, they've played like a 500 team, you know, they win two, lose two, you know, like, that's been the case. So it was nice to see that little momentum there. And I just think this is sort of that game against the Hornets, you know, even though they were able to string together stops in that fourth quarter and they weren't able to, you know, hit so many open shots. I think that's just comes with the territory at the end of the day, right? When you got guys like Rozier going off, you know, making sure that everyone remembered that he's still about that life in the fourth quarter. And you got other guys stepping up big like Ball and, you know, you're constantly snatching the momentum. I just think it's tough, man. It's difficult. I don't think I don't think the loss against the Hornets is an indication of, oh, this team is completely reverted back. Yeah, they did in some sense, but at the end of the day, we have to wait and see how they're going to bounce back. But the reason I bring up the Tatum thing is just like a lot of stuff the fans are scratching their heads being like, well, what's going on? Like with the shooting, like, is this going to be like a thing? And if it is going to be a thing, like, it's just a step back for Tatum as a player, you know, at the wrong time when the Celtics need him to be at his best.
Plus he can't let getting into foul trouble bother him. He has to figure out a way to like not let that be a distraction. I felt like in the first half, he was getting to the hoop a lot more. And in the second half, especially that fourth quarter when they cut it down to five a few times, and it just felt like they were settling instead of just taking it in. Like the Hornets didn't have, they don't have a shot blocker. They don't have any presence in the middle. They barely played defense. The Hornets did nothing special.
That pissed me off most about that too. Like the one shot blocker they had, man, Tatum was blowing by that dude.
Yeah, Plumlee, dude.
You guys afraid of Plum?
Come on,
man.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's sort of like laziness.
Dunk on Plum.
Yeah, it's sort of something. Let's see, right? Put him on a poster a couple times. And yeah, so I just felt like
poster material.
Yeah, so I felt like it was laziness, and the Hornets to me did nothing special, because the fact that they have four or five guys that can, you know, give you 20 to 30 on any given night, like that's what they do. They fucking they're all about offense. They barely play any defense. So I don't know. I feel like it got away from them there a little bit at the end, and it was still a winnable game despite Tatum, you know, shooting like shit. But that's what it is. That's what it's kind of been when, and some of these losses, not all losses, but some of these losses.
To Sway's point about the game not setting back the Celtics, it didn't set them back. Like, it is par for the course. Like, you're going to have a stinker every once in a while, but like, it was a big game to, like, you know,
build momentum.
To put themselves over. If they won that game, then you're talking about, okay, you've won 6 out of 7, right? And then you're talking about,
keep
okay,
flirting with that 500.
Yeah, like, well,
go
like,
over.
But what have we been saying? It's like, yo, they just got to go on this like this little run of like 5 or 6 like straight wins. But you know, they kind of do that, and it's like you're barely getting over 500, then you're right back to below 500, or 500 or below again. And you just can't get over. They can't get over that hump of being several games over 500 instead of one or two.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where we are. So that I don't know. I'm not worried about Tatum per se. Like, as a whole for the season, but I think last night we could have, if Tatum had a good game, but that was a win, right? So that
I'm not worried about Tatum either. I just feel like it's a lot of stuff that can be corrected just by him like settling in a little bit and kind of let the game come to him sometimes, especially when he's struggling. If he's struggling all game, like if he hit a couple of those threes, yo, all is forgiven. No one's barely talking about him, you know, having a bad shooting night. It was like, well, he hit him when it counted. And sometimes that's all you need in a game like against the Hornets.
All right, let's see who's up next. Sean, get that schedule out. It's just about that time.
All right. Yeah, it's about that time.
It's time to look ahead.
Oh, that's what we're doing. All right. Big game tonight. Trailblazers coming to the Celtics. That, to be honest, who is even playing for the Blazers right now? Robert Covington.
I think McCollum is back. I don't know how if he's at full strength, but he's back from the collapsed lung.
Yeah. So wild.
Which he got diagnosed like right after the Celtics played him last out there. So,
when it rains, it pours.
Yeah. And Robert Covington has been an awful player this year, but he's probably their best player mixed with Norman Powell, which I don't even know. Is Norman Powell back? Like, he's been injured too, so I don't even know.
You're just going to skip over my guy, my dude?
Oh, Nurkic?
He's having a pretty decent season.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been pretty solid. He always is, Sean.
Yeah, Nurkic. Yep. Anyways, then the...
that just shows you what kind of season the Portland Trailblazers have.
Yeah. Then Celtics travel down to Washington to see our future Celtic Bradley Beal. You know, seeing how that team has sort of found its level too. And then we got the Kings. So three games, two at home and one in Washington against a team that's sort of flying. If we're talking about like a bounce back little stretch.
I feel like we're talking about a bounce back little stretch like every week.
Well,
it's every fucking week.
Cross your fingers, guys.
All right. This could be it. It's going to be the turning. Like, I feel like we did that last season, too. Every time they got like a little run. Yo, is this going to turn the corner? They're going to turn the corner here? Is this when it's going to happen?
Well, they can't go 4-0 if I said three games. So,
with you? Are you sure? I think they could. Well, so I would definitely say some shit like that.
It could be.
Y'all see the Kuzma dunk on Embiid, by the way?
Yeah.
Oof.
Jeez.
Baptized. Wow.
That needs to happen.
No, that needs to happen. Bring him back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah. No, he's scoring 30 no more after that.
MVP of the league.
I mean, he scored 50 the very next game. But, you know, he's humbled. He's humbled a little bit.
Joel Embiid. And that's a dunk on the MVP, man. That's
I don't know, man. I think it's between him and the Joker. You know, putting up triple-doubles like it's nothing.
Yeah, but Joker's got that whole the whole fact that he won it last year, and they don't like to do that no more.
Antetokounmpo, he's successful from not winning that award again this year because he did it twice already.
Well, Giannis, why isn't Giannis?
He could do it.
MVP conversation.
He is. What do you mean? Yeah, the conversation is wide open now. Okay, yeah. Steph Curry. It's usually at least
10 players that you can talk about it and can be in the MVP conversation.
It was Steph, Kevin Durant. That's what it was for the majority of the season up to this point. And now they're both, Steph's not playing, you know, great anymore. Like, you know, just he's sort of not been playing out Steph Curry like
before. He's in a little a slump, if you will.
Yeah, you know, great players in a slump. Wow, is that can happen in the NBA? Are you kidding me, bro? No. Come on, they should trade Steph.
No one's saying about training anybody there, Sean, except for you.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, you got these three teams coming in. The only way we can go 4-0 in this three-game stretch, Sway, is if they beat the Wizards so bad that Bradley Beal, after the game, goes, I'm going to sign with the Celtics next year. And then they go 4-0. That's how you do it.
Yeah, I'll talk to him about it. I'm going to beat it. I'll talk to him about it.
I'm going to beat it.
Yeah, I'm not coming with you, bro. We got the weekend. We got the weekend free, bro. We'll be there.
Yo, don't mess with me, man. I told you you're invited. Take the damn train if you have to. Yeah, tickets are like 75. Oh, I don't know about now, but flights were stupid cheap, so we'll see.
There we go.
Maybe you can still join it.
You never know.
So what you got? What you got?
3-0. 3-0. It's gotta be 3-0. Thank God.
He's even having a hard time convincing himself.
He's like, come on, they gotta be. Come on.
It's gotta be.
Man. I think the next Celtics winning streak, if there is one, it's gonna be sandwiched in between two episodes of Looking Ahead. I'm telling you, it's just not gonna break in your favor.
There's always one time that
carries over. Oh, I was gonna say it's usually one win from one week and then the winning streak carries over. And then there's like a loss at the end of that, and then we go on. You're like, see what I say, guys? 4-0. And I'm like, no, man, that wasn't what you said. You can't be snatching wins from one week combining
for real.
Them.
Yeah, man.
Dragging them over.
Dragging them over.
Yeah, and it seems like when we come back on, it's always after a loss. So we like, you know.
Yeah, or someone just like freaking got traded. All right, nice work, John. Nice work.
that's where I'm at.
This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year. As we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond, BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. It's BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, let's make our trip around the NBA. Let's wrap up this episode the way we wrap up every single episode here on Causeway Street with Joel's In Case You Missed It.
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 Joel, what we miss?
Well, Kevin Durant, guys. It's going to be out, I think, probably like 4 to 6 weeks, they're saying. That's a tough blow here.
Is that your MVP? Is that your MVP?
Got a sprained left MCL, you know, with good old Kyrie not wanting to get vaccinated and having to essentially only play on the road, which they suck, by the way. They're well under 500 on the road. They have great home record, but the Nets, they don't win on the road. So,
well, it's good they have a player to help them out with that, you know?
Yeah, but
help turn that around.
Yeah, we shall see if he comes back within that time period, but it's not looking good right now for the good old Nets.
Man, listen, I'm going to say this with confidence. There's zero chance that Kyrie will actually get vaccinated. But if you're James Harden, if you haven't done it already, how haven't you just sat him down and just say, Kyrie, what are we doing? What the fuck are we doing?
What is your fucking problem, guy?
All right. We're here now, okay? Durant's out for 6 weeks. We're sliding down the freaking NBA standings. Bro, I'm going to need you to play in Brooklyn. Like, can we do this, please? Like, well, he'll never do that.
Yeah.
And it won't be because of, I don't know. It won't be, what am I trying to say? It won't be because he's so defiant about this. I just think at the end of the day, he won't go back on this because he can't make himself look like a fool, so to speak.
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
And the Nets already met him halfway. They've already compromised. Yeah, so there's no way he'll go back. If the Brooklyn Nets were still on the high horse saying, look, you either get vaccinated or we don't see you at all. Maybe he thinks about it. But now that there's a compromise, he kind of has a 50-50. He's not getting vaccinated.
Yeah, so I mean, just, the Nets, yeah, exactly. Like you gave, terrible. You gave in to what he wanted, essentially. Right.
Essentially,
so then why
right.
would you, why would he go back on that now? It's like, oh, the Nets got egg on their face, you know? He's coming back, you know, technically at the right time because Durant's out. You know how many fucking games they've played together since they all have teamed up? 16 Seven. Games. Seven. Not going to be going in any faster than, you know, 65 tops.
A little something for you black sheep diehards out there.
Seven.
If you know, you know.
So it's like and you know what else too that kills me? It's like
Wait,
all
on,
these...
would you say 16?
Yeah, 16.
Okay. 16. Yeah. Because watch me think 7 when I try to go back to that stat.
Oh no, it's always gonna be 7 now, bro.
I know, right? So always...
I'm gonna be in the middle of a stupid argument and be like, no, bro, they've only played 7 games together.
Yeah. So it's like, look, and the thing that kills me is like these fucking talking heads.
64 tops?
It's gonna be going 65 tops. You know?
65 tops?
7. I mean, I can get it up to like, what did you say? Like 120, but I never do though. I'm chasing it.
Hurry up! Get back there!
But chasing a pretty chicken, a Ferrari. Got this guy for banging horses. All right, anyways. If you know, you know, like Soy said. So what kills me is these
really confused right now.
I know. It's like they really went deep into it.
They like banking horses?
Bro ads. Talking heads, right? They're more like, no, man, Kyrie should should take the sacrifice and get vaccinated. And then the other one is like, well, you can't force someone to do, you know, he's really against a vaccine. Yo, he's not against vaccinations. Like, I don't understand why what's so hard for this people to understand. He is the voice, and I'm quoting what he's saying, the voice of the voiceless, of those that have lost their jobs because they refuse to get vaccinated. So, again, if the Nets had stuck to their guns, maybe Kyrie would have been like, yeah, this is fucking stupid. Like, you know, Durant's down. You know, we're falling the standings. Maybe I should stop being an asshole and actually do what I got to do to play the whole fucking season, like both road and away games. But no, the Nets did what they did, and he's not going to go back on it.
You know how, I know that's the dumbest thing that anyone's ever said, what Kyrie said, is because there are literally people that have lost their job.
So seriously.
And they didn't get their job back.
Exactly.
Because they didn't get back.
Exactly. So like even if the Nets didn't bring him back, he was still going to get paid.
He's as soft as oh my God. Like you, like
it's such a cop out, man.
And then, like you accept, like if he's the voice of the voiceless, and the people that are losing their jobs, then sit there and retire,
or give away some of your money to these people who are jobless.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Won't do that.
And the same people, are like, yeah, like you know, stand up for what's right. Are the same people that were telling him and every so many others to shut up and dribble. So what are we doing here?
The big thing that I see from this whole thing is like, it's not a coincidence, the fact that the Brooklyn Nets were playing really well while without Kyrie, because they stood hard, they had a hard stance. And then the second that they decided to back off from that, like, I know it intertwined with Kevin Durant sort of going down.
They were still first though in the East when they had him come back, which I don't understand.
You know what I like to call that?
That's karma.
Called karma.
Yeah. Well,
like you had a chance to make a stand, and yeah, you is Kyrie one of the best point guards in the NBA? Yeah, definitely. You want him on your team? Yeah, definitely. But if you're making everyone else get a vaccine and then you let him play on the team, I just couldn't even imagine like the morale of that squad who had.
Well, it's kind of the same thing with Boston. Like Danny Ainge, they gave him everything he fucking wanted, and he still bounced. He still was like, "I'm out." That's just the way he is. That's the type of person that he is. Like he expects to get everything that he's asked for, but he doesn't have to, you know, do whatever he doesn't want to do.
Yep, and that was a big thing that I said when the whole Kyrie thing was going down. It was like, yo, I just don't really like the fact that whole All-Star thing. Where like, no,
what a Ducha comment to start something. You know, that was a great thing that I said.
I know.
Who talks like that? Who the fuck says that?
You know, who talks like that? Kyrie talks like that.
Yeah. But it's the anti-Kyrie because Danny Ainge...
Yeah, just give yourself a pat on the back, why don't you, bro?
If Paul Pierce, in the Danny Ainge days, before the Big Three, and even with the Big Three, Danny Ainge is there and he goes, hey, Danny, I'm injured, and I know I haven't played the last 10 games, but like I'm going to play in the All-Star game, so you got to be cool with that, or I'm out. What do you think Danny Ainge is going to say to Paul Pierce?
What do you mean, though? You think that's what happened?
Legit, anyone. Yo, Kyrie Irving was injured, and he decided to say, I'm still going to play in the All-Star game, and then I'm going to still be injured after that. I'm not going to play for the Celtics. Like, they allowed that to happen when they could have said, no, we're not. If you play, you're going to get suspended. You're going to do this, X, Y, and Z. And they didn't. So Kyrie's just gotten, like, Kyrie gets his way because...
No one says no.
Well, that's what happens in the NBA, though.
No, it's just the NBA. It's the NBA. Yeah. And Kyrie knows it's the NBA, so he can make his thing. But at the same time, he's one of the best point guards in the NBA.
No,
so.
but look, as weird as
one of the best point guards I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, as weird as it sounds, what I'm about to say, I would understand more if he was against the vaccination. Fine, to each his own. That's fine, da bien. But the fact that he's like, no, guys, he'll make it crystal clear to people.
I'm
not anti-vax. I'm anti the fact that people are losing their jobs, and I'm the voice for those people. That's what he keeps fucking, you know.
But he's still getting paid, and he got his job back.
Exactly. So what did he accomplish, really?
Right. He accomplished the only thing that he accomplished was the fact that the NBA has different standards for worker like worker acceptance and worker standards if you're good versus if you're bad. Like, I don't care if you're like right. a union, your number one rep in your union, like a steel work union that probably in certain states can't work, can't get into a job because they're not vaccinated, could be your best steel worker. They're not bending the rules for that guy, but the NBA, they bend the rules for him. The Brooklyn Nets, they bend the rules for him. And that's a problem, bro. That's a fundamental problem.
And not only that, that's going to come to bite him in the ass, because what do you think James Harden is going to do when the offseason comes? And they didn't go far in the playoffs. You think he's going to resign? You think he's going to, stay there for another 4 more years?
I think he's going to go to KD and be like, yo, get this guy out of here and let's bring someone else in that wants to play with us.
Like, if you want me to fucking re-sign here, like, we need to fix this. Because you guys done lost all of your fucking draft picks to get me here. And now this douchebag, he's dancing to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah.
See, I think he's gassed enough that he thinks him and Durant are enough. And he's like, whatever we give him, Kyrie is a bonus. But I don't know. That's just me.
No, I know.
When Durant's not in the picture, then it's like, well, what are we doing
here? Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, you hope that Durant comes back sooner rather than later, but what if he's not right when he comes back? And then what? It's just like, oh, no, Kyrie, you know what Kyrie's going to say? No, I'm here. It's cool. We got this. Even though I only play half the games.
Technically, this is year 3 of KD in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. But he signed his extension, though, so he's good. But James Harden hasn't signed an extension. They haven't even offered Kyrie an extension. So then what's the future looking like in Brooklyn if you ain't going to win it this year?
But for real, like, what is even keeping KD from saying, okay, this isn't working out, I want out? Like,
well, I mean, but you got
it. Where's he going to go?
Yeah, you have a better chance of having people come to you than him going somewhere else.
Sure.
Yeah, but if you're stuck with people like Kyrie and a disgruntled, Harden, how far are you going to go?
Yep, I don't think you're going to go too far. And I think this year is going to be really an eye-opener for them when, the Eastern Conference is very competitive. Say what you will, but the top, the Bulls.
Look, as bad as it seems right now for Celtics fans, they're only like 5.5, 6 games out of first place.
I was going to say 6 games.
Yeah. So they're what, 10th right now, the Celtics? And Brooklyn is what, like 3rd right now?
Like, yep.
It's kind of wide open.
I think the way things will probably shake out is that Chicago's probably screwed right now too with their injuries.
Yeah.
And then, but I think the Bucks will probably be the best team. Philly will be right behind them. You'll probably have, some competition there from, honestly, Milwaukee and Philly are probably, and maybe Miami.
Maybe Miami, because they're starting to click. Starting to click, getting a little run.
Those are your top tier teams. If there's no KD and there's half Kyrie and the rest of that team is sort of Brooklyn, and then you don't have Lonzo Ball and you don't have Zach LaVine for a long stretch, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the East being now wide open again.
Yeah. Lonzo's probably out 4 to 6 weeks because, he needs surgery.
Jam said 6 to 8.
Woj said 4 to 6. I don't know who we battling here between Woj and Shams.
Why don't they say 4 to 8?
It's the battle we've all been waiting for.
The battle we've all been waiting for. The breaking news gurus, if you will. No, LaVine too. LaVine is, don't know what's going to happen with him with his knee injury, the same knee that he had a torn ACL a few years back in. So it's not a tight race. It is a tight race. It's more wide open than people think.
So that being said, the Celtics should be as motivated as ever to make a run.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
So we'll see what happens.
All right. In case you missed it, Chandler Parsons has retired officially from basketball after having several career-ending injuries over the last few years.
You just butt the spaz in 3.
But no, the reason why this is news.
I thought he died, bro. I thought he I thought he was in Pop and Flop.
Listen. The reason why this is news, bro.
I thought it just fizzled out.
Yeah, no. The reason why this is news is because he.
What team was he on when he retired?
He hasn't played. His last team that he played for was the Hawks. Well, I don't think he even played for the Hawks. He got traded to the Hawks, but he didn't play the 2019-20 season, the bubble season.
It all started when he signed that ridiculous contract. Yeah.
Like, are we gonna talk about like Brandon Jennings retiring?
But listen, let me fucking tell you why it's news. All right, it's Kareem. You know, he
Joe's digging right now. He's like, fuck it. What do I say about the dude?
He won a settlement from the NBA because he sued the NBA because he said the reason why he had to call it a career was because he got into a car accident. So he got a substantial amount from the NBA so that he could officially retire. And when you officially retire, you get benefits. All right.
Did he hire Barry Feinstein?
I don't know.
Yeah, just ask Sebastian Telfair about the benefits.
Yo, Big Baby could help out there too, you know?
Oh, the joking thing.
Tony Allen.
Wait, why is there so many former Celtics players? Like, they're just schemers over here, bro.
Fucking Palacio had like all people, dude. I thought he was like the nicest dude ever.
I'm like, bro, you had freaking two 10 days. Like,
wait,
why do you have benefits? What's going on?
They signed you from the CBA. Like, the CBA doesn't exist anymore.
If you didn't make the greatest game winning shot of all time, you wouldn't have got the second 10 days. Let's be honest. You wouldn't have.
No one would even know who you are. You know, not one person will remember Mil Palacio if he didn't make that one shot.
Literally, I judge people by how long they've been a Celtics fan if they know Mil Palacio or not. Like, that's where that's my cutoff.
Yep.
He said that's my cutoff.
If you don't know who Mil Palacio is, you're a post KG Celtics fan. All right, that's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. But we like to differentiate around this.
Yeah, 1,000. And you know what? I'm sure that the court was like looking at it like, okay, so you want benefits, but you know, because
he was still getting paid that fucking crazy deal. So
yeah, they're like Chandler, you really can't get the benefits until you retire. It's pretty, you know, pretty standard thing. And then all of a sudden that huge scandal drops and they're like, wow, okay. Yeah. Give Chandler Parsons anything he fucking wants.
At least his asshole played a couple years ago.
Yeah, at least Mil Palacio was getting benefits, and not only getting benefits, but scamming his benefit schemes. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he got seven Rukinows.
Like, I know, right? Who the fuck? Anyways.
How is that even possible?
How is that even possible, dude?
What is wrong with your mouth?
How much Novocaine can one man take? You know?
Like, and why all of a sudden you want to get that taken care of after your career is done? Anyways.
Yeah. In the same week.
Yeah. No, to in Parsons' defense here, you know, he was involved in a car accident in 2020, right? In January 2020, so, you know, it is what it is.
No, he was trash way before that.
No, I know that, but it's just, we're talking about, like, interfering with him getting money because he suffered career-ending injuries.
Well, his career ended way before the career ended injuries, but
yeah, I think once those three stop falling, bro, I think it was a wrap after that.
Yeah, because he was with Dallas.
It was Houston, Dallas, Memphis, and then Atlanta.
But who signed him to the deal? Was it Dallas?
Dallas. No, Memphis did.
Longest Chandler Parsons segment ever.
Yeah,
I remember there was talk. I'm sure if we go back in the archives, we talked about Chandler Parsons as a possible trade, bargain deal trade for the Celtics at one point.
No, it was probably to sign him because he was for like 2 or 3 years in Houston, he was getting paid like $500,000 a season.
Yeah.
So anyways, in case you missed it, the NBA will keep the 10-day hardship contracts in place through February 17th. Leagues, you know, they were told in a memo recently that extension was from the original January 19th. Deadline that the league had put into place, obviously because of all the players catching COVID.
Speaking of hardship contracts, Celtics need to go and sign Isaiah Thomas. I've been saying this for, they got to break the curse. They got to do it.
If this Marcus Smart thing was long-term, I'd say yeah. Well, I'm saying yeah regardless, but...
Well, I mean, he's out of protocol.
The likelihood of the Celtics doing it, I think it's It's like, slim to none. If Marcus was out for like 6 weeks, I think you have to at this point. Come on.
Brad knows it's cursed, but he just doesn't want to believe it. He knows deep down.
I don't know. I'm still on the whole thing. If you're Isaiah Thomas, you coming back to the Celtics after they?
Yeah, you definitely.
Yeah, 1,000%, bro. You really think he wouldn't? You think he would decline an invite?
I just don't think. No, but I don't think like he's looking for the Celtics to do that, and the Celtics are not going to offer it to him either. So I don't know.
So you feel like Isaiah Thomas would turn down that contract?
I didn't say turn it down. I just don't think the Celtics are going to offer, and he's not looking. He's not going to be like, guys, come on, sign me. I'll play whatever role you want me to play.
I think Isaiah's saying that to all 30 teams in one way or another, you know?
Yeah,
he definitely just wants an opportunity. What else you missed?
All right, in case you missed it, third fan returns for the All-Star Games are in, and I'm just going to say the top five right now that are leading in all voting in both conferences. Number five is Jokic at just over 4 million. Antetokounmpo at number four at just over 5 million. KD at 5.4 million. Curry, number two, at 6 million. And LeBron James at 6.8 million so far with a third fan returns. And Jaylen Brown, now, by the way, is top 10 right now in the
What's up with the Lakers? Are they benching their all-star point guards now? What's going on? What's up with that?
That was huge.
Is that a thing? Is that like the
is that
the proverbial, like, you know, like LeBron like tapped his nose, you know what I mean? Like, yo,
Vogel said he just went with the players that were playing better at that moment. Hint, hint.
Neither one of y'all saying that LeBron pulled the trigger on that one, though.
No, 1,000% LeBron pulled the trigger on that one. And also, now I think that they're going to try to trade the untradeable contract and probably get away with it because it's LeBron James and they're going to get a better player somehow.
Nah, I don't think anything to do with LeBron, because that's admitting that he was wrong for making them get Russell Westbrook.
He's done that before, Joel. Had people shop out of L.A. before.
Yeah, that's fine.
He is not afraid. He is not afraid to say that he was wrong if he can get someone out on.
But then what is that? What about him wanting Vogel out? Because they're not coming to his defense.
No, Vogel almost got canned last year. Not last year. The year they won the championship. If the season didn't shut down, Vogel wasn't going to last on that team.
Well, we all know what the team wanted, as who they wanted as a coach. They wanted Jason Kidd, but they couldn't hire him straight out because of his, you know, criminal whatever history or past or whatever you want to call it. So they were banking on Vogel to fuck up so that, you know, they get rid of him and then Jason Kidd slides on up in there. But it is what it is now, and I don't think Vogel is like this end all be all when it comes to, you know, top coaches in the league. I get it. They won the championship in the bubble, but
yeah. I mean, I don't see something like that happen midseason, but summertime, you never know, depending on how this year ends.
No, I think that if I'm a betting man, Westbrook is not on the Lakers after the trade deadline. Like, they will do something because they're the Lakers.
Oh, Westbrook. Oh, no, that might happen. I was talking about Vogel. I think Vogel stays till the rest of the year.
I agree with that. But I just I think this dude trying to make shocked, I think I LeBron be. Trying to make Vogel look good. That's not doesn't make him look good if he doesn't want Vogel there at some point. You get what I'm saying?
I don't think that LeBron is on an anti Vogel kick. I think he's really realizing, like, you know, whatever you want. I'll say about LeBron any day of the week, but he's having a really good.
He is having a good season. I don't think anyone's negating that, but like the team overall wasn't put together and well.
Also, this is what happens when
Celtics fans can relate to this.
This is what happens.
Okay, trial and error.
Anthony Davis can't be your second best player because he's going to be injured for a very long time during regular seasons. He just always is. Every single year, you got to plan for it. And if you don't have that, if you have a guy like Westbrook.
Plus the only other contract you could trade Westbrook for is the guy he originally got traded for to begin with a couple years ago. It's John Wall.
Yeah, no, maybe take John Wall. LeBron would take John Wall over Russell Westbrook right now. I think that's a fact.
Yeah.
Anyways.
What else we miss?
All right, in case you missed it, last but not least, I found this this story hilarious, but not at all surprising. Right, Brendan Haywood, right, the formerly of the Wizards back in the day, was talking about how Gilbert used to Gilbert Arenas used to really haze these rookies, you know, back in the day. And we remember a good old Andre Blatch, right? You know, one of KG's boys. Eventually, they became, you know, good friends later on in Brooklyn. So when Andre was a rookie in Washington, according to Haywood, Gilbert took a dump in Blatch's shoes, and it wasn't just a regular, like, you know, I'm gonna shit on them, and then he knows that shit on them. No, he lifted, you know, the arch support that comes in the shoe, like, yeah. So he like took that out first, took a shit, and then put the arch back on top of the doo-doo. And just left it for him to put his foot in without realizing that there was shit already in the shoe.
Jesus.
So, you know, apparently this is just one of like the lower end of the pranks that Gilbert would play on the rookies back in Washington before he started bringing guns to the arena. You know,
see, that's an old soul right there. Right, that's a guy who sticks to his roots. Yep, you know what I mean? Sticks to the roots. The importance of team hazing for the youngest. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see that anymore in the NBA. No, you just don't.
You know, you don't see players being sent to the store to get peanut butter and jelly and making the whole damn team peanut butter and jelly sandwiches before a game. You don't see that anymore.
Tough love. Like, you send the rookie out to go buy, like,
buy Hennessy in the middle of the night. You
this
know?
Really happens. No, not even. Like, no, you send him to go buy poker chips and then you don't even invite him to the game. Like, that type of shit. You know what I mean? Like, you slam the door in that dude's face and like, yo, deuces, bro. That's all we needed you for. You thought that was an invite, my guy? No, we need these chips to play. And you need to step. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
or Gary Payne. Gary Payne.
Whether making someone buy something or whether, you know, doing a number two in the guy's shoe. I mean, it's all relative.
Yeah. Or like, you know, sending a teenager to go to a club to get, you know, a bottle of liquor at 3 a.m. and not letting the dude, you know, party with you after you get it.
Right.
Nah, man, I think you guys are missing the point here that
they're doing that.
Gilbert Arenas pooped in a guy's shoe. That's the point of the story.
Nah, you think he did it, though? I don't know. Gilbert, he's striking the type to throw a ball boy like $500 to do it, and dude was just like, bad.
Nah, yeah, it sounds like the way that this dude was telling the story, it sounded like I think he saw him, like, he witnessed it.
Yeah, you take that. You take the shoe into the bathroom and like put it on top of the toilet just in case anything else comes out. You know,
Gilbert's a weird dude.
No chill, Gil.
Such a weird dude.
No chill, Gil. Yeah, you do wonder where that nickname came from, but now I don't.
So yeah,
could you imagine
whatever it's worth,
sliding your foot into your basketball high top?
My day is done, bro.
It's all warm and shit.
What if someone did that to your cleats, Sean? What would you do in college?
I don't know what I would do. I don't.
See, that would make a lot more sense. Like, that's a college thing to do.
That's a college thing. Gilbert went to Arizona. Yeah, he was in college. But that's one.
Imagine what he was doing over there.
Yeah,
that's one hell of a step, though, from doing that to shit in somebody's shoe to, you know, threatening to kill somebody in the locker room over a poker game, you know.
Well, I'll put it this way too. Now that I know that Gilbert Arenas pooped in someone's shoe, what else has been going on in the NBA locker rooms that we don't know about? Like, I'm telling you.
What happens in the locker room, Sean, stays in the locker room.
Can't wait.
So the book comes out, right? All right, that's going to do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Hit us up on all social media platforms at Causeway Street.
Okay.
Check us out on causewaystreet.com for all your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions.
Will do.
And subscribe to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/causeway for our exclusive content, exclusive giveaways, and all types of good shit that we like to call the after hours.
All right. Yes,
season 2 is up, right, for the after hours?
That's right. Season 2 just kicked off. First episode came out this week. Of course, we got more of that coming up next week. And, another episode of 101 with Joe Sway, man. So, guys, check it out.
all season two, and honestly, you can catch up on season one. Just subscribe. Let's
do it.
Yeah, we got all 40 episodes of season one, and our bonus content right now is currently available. So you guys can get a little taste of what you would sign up for. That's a really funny episode.
A little sample.
And remember,
you guys should check that out.
We give away free jerseys.
Yes, that's right. So we're doing the next giveaway. I want to do it by, let's say, the All-Star break. So that gives everyone plenty of time to sign up. And again,
hopefully Bobo will have a jersey by then.
By just subscribing, you immediately entered your name into the raffle. So.
What number is Bobo? Did they announce his number?
99.
Hell yeah.
I'm kidding. I don't know what the fuck the number is.
Crowder would shake his head, bro. He wouldn't
like that. Nah, he shook his head when Taco used it.
He should just go 69. 69, that's it. Imagine Bobo number 69 jersey. There you go.
No, it's going to be like 64 or something. It's going to be mad random.
Yeah, something
like 72.
Or who was 88? Who the hell was 88?
That was Antoine for like two games.
Antoine Walker.
Before he paid Al Jefferson to give him back his eight.
Give him the eight. Yeah. Like it. There you go. I'm good with 88.
He confused so many old men in New England watching the first thing.
He's like, is that Eric Lindros over there?
No. They were like,
88 guy.
They were like, is my eyes getting worse or do I see 2 8s in that jersey? I thought he was number eight. What's going
on here? Is that like a zero and an eight? Like, what's going on? I don't understand.
Ball.
All right. I feel like it's forced, though. That's trying to be more exciting.
I have toned it down. You saw my reactions.
Yeah. Well, and then your dream kind of got your realization kicked in when you realized that he's probably not going to play this season and probably not going to suit up for the Celtics ever.
That's a tough one to swallow, but I do think that he'll be here next year. So I'm just looking forward to Summer League now, bro.
Nah, I just love how Stevens and Udoka, they're trying to sell it. Like, no, it's a good pickup here, It's like, oh, okay.
It's a great pickup.
Yeah. I bet it is.
Now all they need to do is go get Moses Brown back and everything will be fine in the world.
Nah, man. Dallas made it.
It's just have the Celtics just stack up 7 foot. Yeah.
Dallas made his fucking contract, guaranteed for the rest of the season. I was pretty pissed off about that.
Maybe they should play the motherfucker.
I know. Like, what are you guaranteeing his contract for? Let him fucking
Sean won't be happy until he sees 3 7-footers in the front court.
That's all I want.
Tatum and Brown in the back court. That's it. That's how you end the game right there.
The lineup is Bol Bol, Moses Brown, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. There you go.
Banner 18.
Playing the three.
Banner 18 right there.
I was playing the three.
Banner 18 right there.
Bol Bol's the point guard in that situation too.
Since Tatum and Brown average like 7 fucking like, at least turnovers a night.
Like Bobo, you got the brains, bro. It's your offense.
All right, and as always, Black Lives Matter. Stop Asian hate, and let's wish for peace in the Middle East. And until next time, we're out.
Later.